Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, a very cold Monday, the 26th of January. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. If I sound a little cranky or out of sorts, it's just because I literally just got out of bed, ladies and gentlemen. I took a nap for a couple hours before doing the show. I had a long and grinding day taking care of some things that needed to be taken care of, and I didn't sleep well last night, so I thought I'd catch a few winks before I did the program tonight, and that's very important because we have a guest here tonight who I will tell you about in a moment. I think you're going to find this guest very, very interesting. I will tell you that tomorrow night I may or may not be here, but there will be a live broadcast. If I am here, I will be joined as a guest by someone whom, if you don't already know who this person is, you'll want to get to know him. But if I'm not here, he will be sitting in solo as the guest host. So in any case, you're going to have a good program here tomorrow night, whether or not I am bored with you. So just to let you know in advance, my schedule for tomorrow is a little bit up in the air. But needless to say, it will be a live broadcast tomorrow night. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of a follow-up to a broadcast, I think our very last broadcast here. We had a telephone call from, I believe it was Mark from Kentucky, who's one of our regular callers, periodic callers, and he asked me a question about the stories, which of course I had often heard myself, about alleged extermination of crippled people and mentally retarded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, by the Third Reich. Now, as you know, I have extreme doubts about the famous figure of 6 million Jews having been exterminated by the Third Reich, as do many, many people for many, many good reasons. But I have never really looked into that particular matter of how many people were or were not, as I put it the other night, put to sleep by the Germans, and I essentially told Mark, our caller, that to the best of my knowledge, well, there had in fact been such a policy in Germany in the early years of the Hitler regime, and that under pressure from the Catholic Church, that these policies had been stopped. Now, as I say, I mentioned on the air that I really had not read that much about it, but I had heard that in the mainstream media. And I did suggest that if there was anybody out there who had any information on that, to let me know what they did know. Well, lo and behold, I got an email from one of our listeners, and this lady told me that she did have some information on it, and I said to her, I said, hey, do me a favor. Give me a call on Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, and I said, I'll have you as a guest on the show, and we're going to talk about this and the information you can provide us. She's been researching into this era of history. It turns out I didn't know the lady per se, but I knew of her work because I had actually mentioned that she has been published in recent issues of the Barnes Review, the historical magazine for which I periodically contribute and which I help put together on and off as my time permits. The Barnes Review's website, of course, is barnesreview.com. And our guest is Carolyn Yeager. And as I say, she has written for the Barnes Review. I've never met her, although I understand she did call this program, or she may have called this program several times in the past as a caller. But tonight she is our very special guest, and I think what she's going to tell us will be an education for all of us. And be prepared, it may be different. What you hear from Carolyn tonight may be different from what you normally hear in the controlled media in this country. So put on your thinking caps, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're all going to learn something here tonight. And like I say, it may be different from what you've ever heard before. So stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, we often talk about the history of the Third Reich on this program and about rumors about Hitler, things like that. But, you know, as far as I can think back now, I don't have that many guests on the program. I've only ever really had two shows devoted to the subject of the Third Reich, this being one of them. The last one was one in which we had the pleasure of the company of Margaret Hufstickler, a very articulate lady who happens to be a personal friend of mine, who put to rest forever the myth that Adolf Hitler's policies were New World Order policies, that his policies, his economic policies, were designed to benefit the international banks and the Rothschild Empire. So I think it's more than thought-provoking and certainly interesting that once again we have a lady joining us, this who is going to put to rest some myths. And I think it is interesting because the fact that they are ladies, it kind of puts to rest the myth that anybody who has done any serious research into the history of the Third Reich from a revisionist standpoint has to be some bitter old man walking around wearing a Nazi uniform and shouting Heil Hitler. So I guarantee you, again, that alone, the very presence of our guest here tonight puts to rest that myth anyway. Well, that having been said, I want to welcome aboard Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for that nice warm-up there and explaining to everyone what we're going to be talking about, I hope. We're going to be
I hope I did it justice because it's a subject that a lot of us don't know about, and obviously I don't know about it either, and you're here to set me straight and some other people too.
Well, exactly, because I think, for one thing, there's a lot of confusion between the ideas of eugenics, sterilization, and euthanasia. People get them mixed up, you know, they get one for the other. And I listened again to what Mark said on Friday, so I wouldn't misquote him. And what he did say was when Hitler became chancellor, when Hitler became chancellor, was he exterminating people that were infirm? And, you know, and you kind of course, you were taken, you weren't prepared for that, but you said, well, yes, in the early years, you know, it was a policy of killing people.
Okay, yeah.
And then Mark did go on to say, well, he knew that the Nazi regime or Hitler regime or whatever was involved in eugenics to create an Aryan race. Well, I want to challenge all those statements tonight.
And I'm glad you're here to do it because, like I said, I have a feeling I'm going to learn something about a subject area that, you know, I read so much about that era and I've never paid too much attention to that, so I've kind of fallen into the same rut that so many millions upon millions of people have fallen into because they believe what they hear in the mass media.
Exactly.
So,
and especially about this, because there was this was all going on, you know, but it's the way it was going on, and it's the way that it's presented now,
right,
in the most horrible, you know, sinister way that they can, you know, suggest.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carol, I think that having been said, why don't you just go ahead and just start telling us what you
do know based on your research. Start out by reminding people that these are some facts taken from, Wikipedia and various places. The United States pioneered eugenic sterilization laws, as a matter of fact. I'm starting with, eugenics, you know, is good genes.
Mm-hmm.
It simply is the a program or an idea or trying to bring about a better, more intelligent, more healthy, more, you know, people, future generations. And, I think eugenics is good. It's gotten a bad name for various reasons.
It's almost become a political football, and it's often used, it's constantly used. If anybody's looking into genetics, they say, oh, well, that's what Adolf Hitler did. That's the way it's approached in modern-day parlance. Yeah.
Yes, and then so, you know, sterilization programs, which have been going on, you know, they've been going on for a long time all over the world, are usually there for eugenic reasons because there are too many bad genes floating around, and often these are the people who are reproducing themselves at a higher rate than others. So the United States, from 1931, or by 1931, 30 of 48 states had passed a sterilization law at one time or another. And non-American jurisdictions between 1928 and 1937, now these are the times that we're talking about in the National Socialist regime in Germany, that had such laws, were Switzerland, Alberta and British Columbia, Canada, Denmark, Veracruz, Mexico, Norway, Finland, Iceland, Estonia. And then I just want to add that even today, in 2008, there is some form of legal euthanasia in Belgium, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Switzerland, Oregon, Washington, USA, Andalusia, Spain, and in Thailand.
And some of those places are really nice places.
Well, yeah, nobody's criticizing any of these places for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And like the eugenic sterilization laws in the United States would say, well, yeah, we had those in the past, but you know that was a mistake. But they don't say that about Hitler's Germany, that anything was a mistake. It was what was going on during those times. It was because it was, you know, some evil intent wanting to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
in fact, between 1935 and 1975, here's a little factoid, 63,000 people were sterilized on eugenicist grounds in Sweden. So, you know, this is not something that only Hitler did. Now, in this act, to say that this was not going on, in the early years of the Hitler regime, the sterilization program was started right away, but not the euthanasia. What euthanasia there was did not start until 1939. So that was, you know.
Well, that's a big gulf from what I believed. I mean, I thought, you know, that it had started, you know, 1933, first thing. So here we're 6 years into the regime.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. So in 33, they did pay. Of course, this was something that Hitler wanted to do. He was very much into eugenics, and there's a good reason why he thought it was so important for Germany, which I will, I guess I'll say that first, because this is from Santoro in a 1938 book. The German nation increased in population by 50% from 1870 to 1936, while in the same period the number of cases with hereditary pathologies increased by 450%. Well, you know, from the World War I and then the Weimar Republic, Germany's people were in a terrible way. You know, the economy was terrible, poverty was terrible, and all kinds of dysgenics were going on. So many of the good blood was killed in the war. And then you had this terrible poverty, lower classes, and things were just going bad. Lothrop Stoddard was an American journalist who was able to travel in Germany in the winter of 39 and 40. And he wrote a book about it, Into the Darkness. And it's a very good book. I'd really recommend it. I know it's on the Barnes Review has that book.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm familiar with the title. I've never actually read it myself.
Oh,
but yeah, that's interesting.
He's very fair-minded. You know, he's not pro-Nazi in the book. He's not particularly anti-Nazi. He's just trying to say how it was then. And on page 1991, he did write he wrote quite a bit about the sterilization courts, in which he showed how fair they were and how the judges went out of their way to listen to the people who were appealing wanting to not have to be sterilized. And most of those people who came to that court were given a reprieve of that, because if they cared that much about it, you know. Anyway, Lothrop Stoddard said, morons, criminals, and other antisocial elements were reproducing themselves at a rate 9 times greater than the general population. And this is what Hitler was concerned about. He, was, of course, wanted to build up the German nation. And so they passed the there's different ways of translating it, but an act for averting descendants afflicted with hereditary disease in July 1933, so 6 months after he became chancellor. And the diseases that were mostly they were mostly concerned with were schizophrenia, epilepsy, and imbecility, and also chronic alcoholism was a big problem in Germany, particularly among the lower classes because of the poverty. And this, of course, you know, coincides with what he was trying to do with this National Socialism, to unify Germans and make Germans care about one another and lift up these lower classes and give them some dignity. So the sterilization law was not considered a punitive law because they had these very, very nice courts, and you could go to the court, and if you could show that you had any saving qualities whatsoever, like if you were holding down a job, if you were behaving responsibly, or if you really sincerely wanted to have a family and wanted to, you know, be responsible for it, they were almost always released from that order that they be sterilized.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carolyn, mm-hmm. we're going to be going to a break
okay.
here in a moment,
mm-hmm.
but I have to say that I've already learned more substantive facts about this than I've ever really known in my entire life, and I've seen the movies that say, to tell the horror stories about all of this, you know, and I've heard the horror stories that are always out there in the media. But I guess before we go to the break, I'll just say this much. They were doing it in lots of places, ladies and gentlemen, not just evil Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. Stay tuned, folks. More interesting data from our special guest, Carolyn Yeager. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
It's now winter. Hello, cold. Hello, Mr. Flu. Oh yeah, welcome aboard the ship of irritating sickness. But wait! Ahoy! The sickness answer! GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Let life change tea. Battle your yuck so you can have your life back. Bye-bye, cold. Bye-bye, Mr. Flu. And, oh, by the way, you toxins and chemicals, get the bleep out of here. Feel better, lose weight. Call us 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. P.S. I've been drinking it for years.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have a special guest, Carolyn Yeager, talking about the eugenics policies and other related matters that took place during that era we know of as the Third Reich. You know, folks, I recall a few years ago reading somewhere somebody made some reference to the fact that somebody had been judicially executed in Germany during the Hitler years, and they said, and, oh, my God, they actually beheaded the person. How barbaric. Well, I just happened to do a little quick research on the subject and found out that, yes, in fact, they did still execute people by guillotine in Germany during the Third Reich, but they had been doing that for years in Germany, and they did it in Germany after the Third Reich. But there is a certain mindset out there, ladies and gentlemen, that would have you believe that because I bring you that fact, that I am defending Nazi Germany. No, folks, I'm just bringing you the facts, and that's exactly what Carolyn Yeager is doing here. Maybe those facts tend to make Nazi Germany look better, or maybe in your perception, those facts make Nazi Germany look even worse than you perceived it to be. But the thing is, what we're doing here is what Harry Elmer Barnes said was so important, to bring history into accord with the facts. Okay, Carolyn, that little point having been made, that little digression, I want to let you just continue with your discussion.
Well, thank you. Yeah, just a few more little comments about sterilization, then we'll move on. One thing the state of Germany had said, that it was spending more than a billion marks per year for the maintenance of asocial, degenerate, and incurably diseased persons, That was, you know, basically one of the reasons for the sterilization program. And many people welcomed being sterilized. Some, you know, many of these people who they were really not interested in raising families or being responsible and so on, or they were, you know, too ill or something, and sort of freed them up, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, many people were very, very willing to have it be done. Now, how many people are we talking about? Here, the best estimates are, now this is a country of 60 million people. In 1934, 62,000, almost 500, almost 62,500 people were sterilized. In 1935, 71,760 people. And then after 1936, it significantly decreased. They say the best figures for the total number is 350,000, but another fellow who I think is probably more accurate says 200,000 to 250,000. And again, this is for the entire time of the Third Reich. This is out of a country of 60 million. So
We're talking a period from 1933 to 1945.
Right.
And those figures, I think what it is, Carolyn, there's so many people who kind of think that the Gestapo or somebody else was coming around and knocking on people's doors, and yanking them out of their homes and taking them down and butchering them.
Well, that's the way the opponents of the Third Reich constantly present it, you know, that there was this dark, sinister country where everybody was afraid of the Gestapo. That's really the situation that was in Soviet Russia. That's not
exactly
where it was in Hitler's Germany, but anyway. So, and then the thing is that these same people always then will say, well, they first started with sterilization, and then that, you know, loosened everything up and warmed everything up and brought down the standards, and then that led to euthanasia. Well, it didn't, and it doesn't, because the two things are different, and sterilization, as you've said too, you know, has been going on in a lot of places, and it doesn't lead to necessarily to euthanasia at all. So and also, you know, the Jews were not sterilized. See, it was totally a eugenic program. They weren't doing it for racial reasons. If they had wanted to get rid of the Jews, wouldn't they be sterilizing the Jews?
That's an interesting point.
That would be the easiest way, and then they wouldn't be accused of murdering them, but they wouldn't be able to reproduce. Well, in a sense, that is, there is a certain amount of genocide if you sterilize an entire race. That's genocide. So. But anyway, they weren't doing that.
But they weren't doing it. That's the point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's another thing, too, Carolyn. I do believe, I think it's fair to say, that a lot of people actually believe that that is what Hitler was doing, because there is so much misunderstanding about it and misperception of it. And that's very, very interesting. So it was actually not even the Jews were not even subject to this specific policy. It was more of a generic policy.
It was for inheritable diseases that were, you know, really made for a brought you know, really made for a, well, you know, just a big problem to have all these people who had all these in diseases passed on. Why do you allow people to pass on? Hitler believed that was a terrible thing to do to your country, to pass on your diseases to future generations. He thought people should be, you know, should voluntarily refuse to have, propagation.
You know, that's the interesting point about it, because Hitler's motivations in that regard are cast as something evil, as though he was doing this in a way to destroy people, when in fact it was obviously his intent to make the nation and its people stronger and healthier. Quite
exactly.
The opposite
that,
of the...
That's really the most important point of all, Michael.
All right. Well, here we have the break coming up. After the break, we have a whole 25-minute stretch. Mark from Kentucky has called back in, so we'll bring Mark up and see what he has to say. All right, folks, stay tuned. We have Carolyn Yeager with us, educating us. Facts, not myths.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know, during the break, it just occurred to me, I don't know how many times over the years I've heard stories about people who are today billed as Holocaust survivors having been born, Jewish people having been born in concentration camps and surviving the war, the strife of war, and coming to the United States and raising families and living out their lives. If Adolf Hitler were so determined to kill the Jewish people, it seems unlikely that these pregnant Jewish women would have been allowed to have children in the concentration camps. But that's just one of those odd little historical facts that don't go along with the standard stories. Anyway, Carolyn Yeager is with us. Carolyn, before we go to the calls, I wondered if you had any further comments in general.
Well, I was going to move on to euthanasia. And which is the risk that, you know, which is what is really the real charges against.
Please do
the nation. And I don't. Well, there's quite a bit. We might want to take the caller, but you know, there is a wonderful story that I want to tell because this is the first when the euthanasia program began. It didn't begin until September 1939. And that was coincidentally the same month that war broke out.
Okay.
And what happened was that in January of that year, there was a father of a very badly deformed baby boy who wrote a letter to Adolf Hitler, the Führer, you know, his Führer, asking for permission to put his baby son to death. Now, when you hear the condition of this child, here's where we get into the questions, and everybody and people do have different beliefs. That some people believe no matter how bad off somebody is, you never would put them to death. But
right.
this child was born with, first that he was considered to be an imbecile, and he was missing a leg, he was blind, and he was missing part of one arm. Now, I don't know what kind of a life, some people wouldn't even call this really fully a human being, because when you're in that condition, you're not really ever going to function as human. If you had one thing, if you had were born without a leg, or you were born with part of your arm missing, or if you were born blind, or even if you were born an imbecile, but when all four, what have you got going? Well, here's this poor family that, how are they going to... How are they going to handle this? How are they going to take care of it? So he asked for permission to put his son to death. He didn't want to be charged with murder.
Right.
Well, Hitler was moved by this. You know, it's amazing how this Adolf Hitler read letters like this from people and thought about this. And he sent his personal physician, which is Dr. Karl Brandt, who's pretty well known. He was in the Nuremberg trials on trial. And also he sent him... there, this was near in Leipzig, to look at this boy and check out this case. And Dr. Brandt sent back to Adolf Hitler this very sad story of what this situation was, and Hitler gave permission for the doctor to put him to death and euthanize him, and that led to an order which was kind of not a public order, but a private order that Hitler wrote out on his own personal stationery. And it said, Reichleiter Buhler, who was he was head of Hitler's Reichsbildung or Reich's headquarters. And Dr. Brandt, M.D., are herewith given full responsibility to enlarge the powers of certain specified doctors so that they can grant those who are by all human standards incurably ill a merciful death after the most critical assessment possible of their medical condition. And so that's when it started. And the first, this was done in, I think, July of... 39, and this decree, then they passed a decree in August that required all midwives and nurses to report to the local health office the details of deformed newborn babies, deformed to such an extent as that. And a panel of three assessors that would judge each case, and if all three agreed, the infant was procured from the parents and quietly put away with as little pain to the child and sorrowing parents as possible. So it does imply that some cases the parents, really didn't, maybe weren't fully voluntarily giving up their child. Maybe they didn't know or they thought the child was being taken somewhere to be taken care of. But then they would be told that the child died. And anyway, this was going on, so it may not be, I'm not saying that it was all just happy.
Right, exactly.
Lovely. But this is what was done, and it started as truly a mercy, a mercy killing.
Well, that's exactly, and that's the important part here. What we're trying to emphasize is that the actuality of what happened and the process by which it was carried out was not done from a venal, cruel, dictatorial standpoint.
True.
Yeah, and that's so important because the legend is that it was just quite the opposite. And, I mean, just even that order, the fact that Hitler wrote it out on his personal stationery, and then the final decree contained that qualifying phrase that it should be, at the most extreme measure, not at the most extreme circumstances, and then you have to have a unanimous three-person vote on this board. It goes to show you really how liberal they really were trying to be.
They were. They really were because at the end, the deaths from euthanasia, the entire euthanasia program, if you don't add on a bunch of stuff that people later wanted to add on, like concentration camps and so forth, which I don't think ever was a part of it, you have 80,000. And some people say 70,000, some people say 100,000. But, you know, that's about the number. And again,
and that's a relatively small number in terms of.
It's not a huge number.
Right, exactly.
And considering, as we've already learned, the situation of the German race at that time or the German people, you know, how badly they had been reproducing morons. And and really, I mean, it's not funny, but they were. There are a lot of people that were just, you know, borderline human beings. And then, of course, these, though, were the ones who were. Now, and also, it's here's another little thing from Seitz, Van Cort, and Henshaw. The German euthanasia program accounted for the deaths of perhaps as many as 80,000 people, largely institutionalized mental patients. Now, the children, let's see, how many children? There's only like 6,000 or something like that of these infants. Where is that figure? I can't. Oh, here I go. 5,000 children were probably disposed of in this way, and the other 75 or 85,000 were adults from mostly, and the way I have seen it put time and again, not just institutionalized mental patients, but really described as bedridden, incurably insane.
And you know, Carolyn, that's an interesting point too, because you know, I mean, I know for a fact I've known some families who have had member here in the United States in modern days, and even in particularly during that time frame, a lot of people were taken from their families by the state here in the United States and institutionalized, and those family members would be lost forever in the system, never visited,
that's
never
right.
taken care of by their families. So again, the reality of what was happening in Germany, the reality is nothing, has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the legend.
No, no, it's really not that much worse than in many, in other places, even in our own country, but it's just the way it's being presented and demonized to fit the whole
Oh, exactly. In fact,
propaganda.
You know, I mentioned that. I often talk about my friend, the big shot lawyer on this program. His wife had a great aunt who disappeared in one of the state mental institution systems here in this country. They don't know what happened to that woman. There is no death record for her. She just disappeared in the system. And I have to say, for all we know, she may have been treated to euthanasia. We don't know for a fact, obviously. But these facts, and you have presented real facts here tonight, Carolyn, and I just really appreciate it.
Well, here's I want to make this one quote before you take
Go ahead. You've got the whole hour if you want.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, here's a 1939 conference with the health minister and the head of the Reich Chancellery who recorded that a few months before the euthanasia decree was made, Hitler spoke at this conference, and he gave his examples of life, and this is now a quote. Life unworthy of life is what he called it. He called it life unworthy of life. Some people don't like that kind of a phrase. Examples were severely mentally ill people who could only be bedded on sawdust or sand because they perpetually dirtied themselves, or who put their own excrement into their mouths, eating it, and so on. Now, this was Hitler's idea of the people who he thought, you know, should be euthanized. And now, again, you know, some people think that no matter what, we take care of people. It's a matter of people have different ideas. But these were not people who were going to get better, at least in the judgment of the doctors, and were going to ever, you know, be anything but something.
And again, you know, we have to look at it. We have to look at it from the time frame, too, because, you know, that was 60, almost 70 years ago. And, you know, people thought differently about a lot of things than they do today. So
right.
We can't apply our you know, we can't take it looking backward and say, oh, my God, just like the example I gave earlier about guillotining people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did it. They did it in a lot of countries. You know,
right.
And we may not like the idea about it, but that's the way it works.
Well, yeah, and you had to think about how many personnel they had to take care of all these people in wartime and so on. But I really don't, you know, there's some people put it, they say, well, it was purely logistic, it was purely economic. They just want to get rid of these people so they didn't have to spend any money on them. But I really think it was more eugenic, and it was more in the way of, releasing people from really miserable life experiences.
And, you know, I would agree with that because I do know enough about Nazi Germany, the facts, not the myths, that the German government went to extraordinary lengths to improve the health care and social welfare of people in Germany. That's
exactly.
A story in and of itself.
Right.
So, okay, well, I tell you what, we do have Rick from, we have Mark from Kentucky here. Mark, I think it's the same Mark who called in, so I'm anxious to get Mark up here.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's learned a little bit here tonight, too. So let me go ahead and bring Mark up. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Michael, and thank you for having your guest on. This is Jaeger. I'm glad that you were on and everything. When I made the statements I made, I didn't know for a fact exactly what was going on with that period. That's the reason I was calling Michael about that.
Right.
And I wanted to, you know, I'm glad that you were on because I've seen documentary films, and I've also done some research on the Internet and everything. And I think you put what I was learning in perspective, and I want to thank you for doing that.
Yeah, well, that's why we had her on. I knew the minute I got that email from Carolyn that this was somebody who knew what she was talking about. And I want to thank you, Mark, for having made the phone call in the first place and having made this what I think is a very important program possible.
Well, the thing of it is that, I'm always open to new ideas and what's been and revisionist history. And, in fact, I got a couple of the Barnes Review booklets from Van Lohman, myself, and
yeah, okay.
I've been reading them. And it was just one of those gray areas where I kept on running across, but you just don't know if that's what was the real truth or was something else that was just more after-war propaganda that actually demonized this leader they call Hitler.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Mark, I'm really glad that you called in, too. I'm glad to talk to you. I wanted to also bring up, and you're right that you're right on both cases. I mean, this kind of thing did go on, but it's the amount of it and how it was done and so on that has to be put into perspective. And
right.
You also though talked about the Aryan race to create an Aryan race, and that's another, in my opinion, misconception of what the National Socialist government was trying to do. There was a lot of talk about Aryanism, mostly, though, it was in the only real part that I mean, I could be corrected on this. I'm not an expert on this, I'm not an expert on any of it, but I could be corrected on this. But in my from what I see, it was in the SS where this really Aryan standards were mostly emphasized, really not anywhere else, except if you take Aryan in the most wide meaning of the term.
Carolyn, let me say something. A few years ago in the Barnes Review, we actually did a piece on that, and in fact, yes, they were trying to adopt standards whereby young men who were in the SS, specifically
mm-hmm.
guys who were in the SS,
mm-hmm.
they were trying to match them up. And they had very strict standards for who
right.
could be in the SS.
Right.
They were trying to match them up with young women who came from families and backgrounds that were in accord with those young men. And they did have I think it was called the Lebensborn program.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, as you say here, it wasn't like they were running out and trying to force every family to produce a member of what now we're told was the master race. That wasn't the intent at all.
No, and in fact, the Lebensborn program was really about taking care of unwed mothers of what they considered to be good blood, and they wanted those children to be born and
absolutely.
Brought up well. And so they had these homes, and they were run very strictly, and the men were, you know, not hardly allowed to come around there, and they had to just visit in the parlor and so on. And you know, they wanted to give these women and their children a good start on life and so on. Now, in the SS program, you know, I have here that they had a certain criteria for the SS men. They did want that to be a very elite force, you know. And they had the criteria was divided though into three parts. The one was the racial phenotype, you know, how their racial genetics. But the other two were the physical condition and general bearing. So, you know, they had to be in very good physical condition, and they had to have just a good bearing about them, you know, how their appearance,
the way they behave, and act, and so on. Mark and Carolyn, we have the break coming up here. Okay. Mark, stay on for the break. Folks, that last 5 minutes alone, I've learned more than I've ever learned before, and I think you have too. Stay tuned, folks.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour. I think in this one short hour, we've had more facts about one of the biggest, most controversial, often talked about topics in history. Real facts, not the myths. And I want to thank Carolyn Yeager for that. Now, we have Mark in Kentucky aboard. Mark, you had another question very quickly for Carolyn.
Sure. I just wanted to say something. I think many times when people listen to a show like this, they get the wrong impression that somehow we're like Hitler apologists or, you know, because we have problems with the Holocaust story and so on and so forth. And the real thing what we're trying to do is look at what real history is, and see him for his foibles and the things that he did that was wrong or we might find questionable, as well as the things that, that the man did right. And it's beyond doubt the man was have to be a genius to turn a country that was upside down the way Germany was at the time and turn it into a world power in 3 years. I mean, that's not the mark of a madman. That's actually a mark of a genius.
Well, exactly. I think he was a genius. But I'm going to say one real quick thing about the euthanasia program. You know, as Michael had mentioned that the church kind of put an end to it. Yeah, you know, it began in October 39 with, and then it ended in August of 41 when Bishop von Galen, after some other church leaders also had spoken out, but he then very strongly spoke out and brought the whole thing, you know, to the public's attention. And at that point, Hitler canceled the program, and he also gave orders to to the Gauleiters, which were the leaders of all the various states and large cities, that there were to be no further provocations of the churches. You know, he did not want to upset the churches. And once they, you know, came out, and he had gotten some word earlier from some a big religious figure there that the Catholic Church was not going to interfere. And of course, he had an agreement with the Catholic Church to stay out of politics. But this you know, was something they couldn't ignore, and so that's what brought an end to it. So it was, you know, just even a little less than 2 years that this program.
Well, that's interesting in and of itself, Carolyn, because the very fact that Hitler did back down, and mm-hmm. this is in 1941 at the height of his power,
right.
This kind of suggests that maybe Adolf Hitler wasn't this power-mad dictator with absolute authority who was determined to rule or ruin. I mean,
right.
He backed down.
You know, he needed the support of the people. He had the support of the people, and he wanted to keep the support of the people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mrs. Yeager, what would you suggest, what kind of book would you suggest that actually would put Hitler...
I would read Into the Darkness by Lothrop Stoddard. It's
really?
Not an expensive book. You can buy it through the Barnes Review. I think you were talking about that, or somebody was last Friday. But a wonderful book. He goes through the entire, you know, his experience in Hitler's Germany in the winter of 1939-40. And he's very even-handed, and he goes through all of the different aspects of society. It's just, I just thought it was, I think it's a great book.
I'll definitely try to get that book.
Okay.
And just wanted to make it, I want to thank you, Michael, again, and just to tell everyone, if everyone wants to find out how World War II and World War I actually really started, listen to John Stadtmiller's show today, and because he an article by Benjamin Friedman, and which actually explains the origins of World War I and World War II.
Oh, okay,
and,
great. All right.
Yeah, and it was a really dynamite show today.
All right, Mark, well, listen, thanks again for both of your calls. Carolyn, appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for letting me talk so much.
Oh, it's been great. It's been fantastic. I know I learned a lot, and open-minded people did too. Thanks again. All right, folks, there you had it. I'm telling you, one full hour of solid facts that you are not going to get anywhere else in independent radio like you got here tonight at republicbroadcasting.org. Thanks again to Carolyn Yeager. What a fantastic show, program, forum, facts, ladies and gentlemen. You can handle the truth.